go. Aquarius. 10th house of Aquarius. We're not going to discuss the aspects. I'm only going to focus on the 10 planetary archetypes because today we're just going to look at the symbols of forces that are within the vibration that this individual carries in by looking at their natal chart. All right. I like to begin by showing this image because it's important to know that our ascendant is essentially a consciousness of ourself. The descendant is consciousness of others. Nadir. Some people say Nadar, some Nadir. The inner consciousness, the depths of the subconsciousness, the subjective realm within us, okay, our intuitional awareness. And then the top half of the chart, Midheaven, which is our outer consciousness. All right. It's also the objective vantage point or objective perspective. With the ascendant, it's very important to know that we actually created our own chart before we incarnated, right? Our soul, in order to contribute to the consciousness of humanity, even through the planetary logos. But our ascendant will reveal our pre-incarnation set of qualities for that zodiac sign that we aim to develop, perfect, and radiate to our environment in order to support the evolution of humanity. Okay. Whereas like the Midheaven, that's where we're more experimental in the things that we do. All right. This is the energy that is mostly behind many of our choices that we make and intend to make in our lifetime. It's how we present ourselves to the world. But the ascendance itself is very important because these are the qualities in our day-to-day basis throughout the course of our life. And when we look at the chart, we'll be able to tell by the zodiac sign the types of expressions and the influences that flow through the personality and all the body, and of course, the soul will experience. Here is a description of the 12 houses, and this is the correct degree of the chart that we'll be looking at today. I've just removed all the planets. We can see that there's a Taurus ascendant. So, with the Taurus ascendant, that will be Taurian qualities of self-expression, especially in when we begin talking about the quadrants, the first quadrant of personal development. All right. Now, I wanted to give a quick snapshot of this chart with all 10 planetary archetypes that we'll talk about today. Also, with the North Node, South Node, four major asteroids, Crion, and the Black Moon, the Lilith. Okay. But today we're only going to discuss the 10 primary planets because they really do reveal the 10 planets reveal within this moment in humanity's evolution the vibration that we carry into this lifetime. All right. It's our When we talk about vibrational astrology, It is the first harmonic. There's 360 degrees in our natal chart, so we carry our first harmonic, but then we can magnify it into 360 degrees. 60 harmonics and evaluate the intensity of these vibrations. We'll get to that at the end of this video. But to begin with, it's important to know that each planet represents a potential to accomplish something in a certain area of this lifetime. All right. For example, the moon is placed in the third house of this chart. And so in previous lifetimes, most likely, there was probably a lot of habitual patterns created. And so the moon also represents change. Okay, not just emotions, but change. And this lifetime, the work in that particular area of third house with the zodiac sign of Cancer, there'll be a focus of moon attributions. All right. Now, speaking of the house, the house sizes, we can get a general idea of where we came from in previous lifetimes because of the size of the house. All right. The smaller houses that are less than 30 degrees, that represents that there wasn't a lot of experience that was focused in that particular area. All right. We can see that within the first quadrant, the first, second, third house, they're relatively small. They are small. But look at the sixth house, very large, about probably 45 degrees. There was a lot of experience in the previous lifetime or lifetimes where the sixth and 12th house, there was a lot of experience accumulated, and all of this is within the subconsciousness of this individual. It's well developed. So in this lifetime, with the smaller houses that are less developed, this gives us clues of what we can focus on and develop more of. So essentially, if a house, let's just say the second house is 20 degrees, 30 degrees is balanced. Okay. 30 times 12 equals 360, which is the size of the zodiac. Now, we want to increase the degrees of the second house up to 30 degrees, which means we need to take away from most likely the sixth or 12th house. Well, we'll say the sixth house and create more of a balance. And that's why we see the cross in the middle that shows that this chart is unbalanced. Okay. All right. Let me look at. Okay. So, in simple terms, we can view the planets as pre-birth intents. All right. They are living conscious intelligences that will radiate energies or reflect energies from the sun, and that will reverberate through us so that we can have these influences to create experiences. So planets, we place the planets in areas that we want to work on within this lifetime. Now, sometimes we need to really know our, or we really need to question that some planets, like in the 12th house, there's Mars, in an already well-developed house, why would I need Mars in 12th house when probably need Mars in the second house to increase the degrees, right? On paper, that's what it looks like. But on a personal level, ask yourself, maybe the Mars energy in the 12th house is there to assist by increasing the personal development of the first quadrant, which is small. Okay, so the career development quadrant, even though it's very large, the planets are there most likely to assist and guide in a way where the smaller quadrants can become more balanced. And that's where we, as a soul, create our script before we incarnate and then try to live out that life to create the harmony and balanced life. Okay. Right. So just remember that the planets, it's sort of experimental work to try to get things successful in our life. And it represents the information and evolution in the course of other lifetimes and from where we entered at birth in this lifetime to where we will leave at death, physical death. All right. We're immortal, Christ consciousness beings, but we're in a physical form creating experiences. Now, going back to keeping it simple, planets we can view as future tense, zodiac signs as present tense, and then the house size as, or the houses as past tense. All right. Past, present, future. One and deeper astrology analysis that I've done, I will use the lifeline. And the lifeline actually creates a nice visual of early childhood and some of the impressions that we gather that create habitual responses that we could possibly carry for the rest of our life. For example, as a 9-year-old, I may have experienced something that was very impactful. Don't have to be trauma, could be joy. But that habitual response will replay over and over and over and over again based off the zodiac sign of, let's say, 9 years old. That's probably in the first house. Yeah, first house, Gemini, with the Gemini type of expression in that present now moment. So that response will carry through over and over. And it could get uncomfortable as we get older because we don't want to be having that response as a child, right? It'll just look differently, and our body definitely will look differently. Okay, so let's get into the symbols, the patterns. As for your first quadrant, which is personal development, Taurus is the ascendant, and the cusp is always the ruler. The ruling planet of Taurus is, let me get my arrow, Venus. And Venus is over here. There we go. We'll use, yeah, we'll just use green. All right. Venus is in the eighth house of this chart. What we can do when it comes to personal development, we know that this chart is going to be, I mean, this quadrant is going to be difficult because it's a pre-birth need, right? A need, a focus in this area. We can focus on the ruling planet of Venus and use the energies of Venus, okay, to help with personal development. And as our lifeline travels through the first quadrant. So I am estimating that from birth at 0 degrees to right here at the Leo cusp, it's probably about 25 years old. Okay. 25 years old. That's just a guess. I can do the math if we were, if I had more time, we spent more time with the chart. But Venus with the ruling planet, we can focus on the eighth house, Venus in Capricorn, and use those qualities and characteristics when we're living day to day. Okay, and also what's really nice is that this Taurian expression as a ascendant, and Venus is in Capricorn. Now, I think Venus is in detriment in Capricorn, but that's okay. In fact, that may be beneficial because when there's a planet detrimental, it doesn't have a lot of wiggle room. And what that means is there's not a lot of give. It may be a little tricky in the beginning to get the Venetian expressions and qualities to play out, but they will play out almost perfect if the individual can focus on that detrimental Venus planet in Capricorn, if that makes sense. I can see how personal development can be beneficial here with the focusing on Venus. Now, as there is the moon barely, just barely in the third house. Now, first house is the physical body development, the I am. Second house is the emotional body development as the child is growing, the physical body, then the emotional body. And then finally, the third house is the mental body. All right. And the moon is down there in the third house, Cancer, which is at home. Moon is home at can in Cancer. Now, the change that most likely needs to occur the most with this moon in the third house is having a more broader perspective. Okay, because this is a left brain analytical house. But let's see. Let me look at my notes real quick. So, with the moon in the third house, it's important to know that communication is going to be very subjective, right? The entire lower half of the chart is the subjective reality. But also know that the level of communication that this chart reveals is that it's going to be very gut level. Okay. There's going to be great importance in communicating about the feelings and the emotions. Normally the conversations that are had with others is has a tendency to go towards an emotional depth that is important for discussion. Just watch out for the Now, this is a house of the everyday world, day-to-day basis. And so watch out for influences by past experiences and habits and reactions of the outside world that could sort of lightly hook into certain reactions. Because the moon in the third house is focused on change in this lifetime. Okay? Let's see. It's interesting how okay. You also have a intercept just barely by 1 degree. And if this chart has an intercept in the third house and in the ninth house. So that makes it even a little more difficult when it comes to the cancer expressions. Okay, the cancer qualities that want to express themselves within the third house and the ninth house. Okay, it's sort of like a seesaw effect. Both the third house and ninth house are not able to balance each other out because they're intercepted. And that means that the house is so small that it's sort of trapped inside the zodiac signs of Gemini and Leo. Okay. This also means that there are duplicated signs that will try to pick up the slack of these intercepted signs. But I'm not going to get into that with this chart because I could talk a while about intercepts and duplicated signs. I want to move on to the second quadrant. Let's go ahead and locate the ruler of the cusp of the second quadrant, which is the planet. Your sun, the sun, right? Sun is assigned to the ruling planet of Leo is the sun. Now, Leo is assigned to key eight, strength. And let me back up. Taurus is assigned to key five, the Hierophant. These tarot keys can be used as symbols for your subconscious. Okay. Even if you don't know tarot, that's fine. But know that the collective humanity has been using tarot for many millennia. All the subconscious knows the symbols. Now, our conscious mind might not in the moment unless we spend a great deal of time studying or we work with others, but know that these tarot keys, I recommend to keep them in mind when it comes to the first quadrant, personal development. You can meditate, contemplate on key five, the Hierophant. Okay. As for the second quadrant, Leo is the cusp, and the sun is the ruling planet, which is assigned to key eight, strength. Now, this is a large quadrant, has large houses. This is already well developed. These experiences are already impressed within the subconscious. And so there's not a lot of difficulty when it comes to family development. Now I'm generalizing, okay? I'm not saying that there's going to be this perfect family and white picket fence and everybody's happy. But when it comes to family development based off pre-incarnated intents and pre-incarnated needs and the work to be done in this lifetime, family development is already well established. All right. But when it comes to let's use the idea that if there are situations within life where it appears family development is becoming difficult on a day-to-day basis, then we can use our conscious mind and our conscious choice to focus on the sun, the ruling planet in the 10th house, then with the sun attributions. Okay. Let's just look up astrology attributions for the sun, along with the zodiac sign of Aquarius. Those will help rebalance the family development quadrant on a conscious level. As we live our life and we go through our life cycles, especially during this quadrant, the lifeline, all the way up to age 50, around age 52, before we start entering the second part of our life, then the sun would be a point of reference to focus on. Could go even deeper within this analysis, but let's keep going. Now we'll focus on the other small quadrant, which is the social development. The ruler of Scorpio is the higher octave of Mars, and it's Pluto, right? Here we go. Let's just change it to purple. Pluto. Pluto is the ruler of Scorpio. Pluto is also part of the sixth house, but mostly in the sixth house. But it that Pluto, I mean, excuse me, Scorpio does rule the social development aspect. Okay. And Pluto is so important in everybody's chart. Pluto is really the source of power that we carry in this lifetime. The sun is where we're shining light in areas we want to develop and give. I think of the sun in the middle of the solar system. It provides all the energy for the solar system, but Pluto actually brings in, is the symbol that brings in our source of power. Okay, it's very transformative energy. And Pluto in the sixth house, you have to be very careful with daily health or just health in general. Okay, don't overstrain the body very physically and pay attention to the body's needs. Now, the with Pluto in the sixth house, the physical body will regenerate if you can rebuild your body to a degree where actually paying attention consciously to the body and listening to the body. And don't fall into the fad diets, the traditionally called snake oil, where you need the outside influence to say you need this that will restore your health. Discernment is very much needed with Pluto in the sixth house. This is a large house, so it's already well developed and can actually use Pluto to create well, with Pluto, you gotta be careful with others because it can create tension in the workforce, especially with leadership and bosses, right? Because the sixth house is also a house of service and work. So that's something else to watch out, especially when it comes to social development, because the third quadrant is small. It's going to be somewhat difficult in this lifetime. And there is the intercepted Capricorn right here. All right. And essentially, that Pluto will actually. It can be beneficial or detrimental. And there's higher and lower influences of Pluto, and we have to watch out for some of the death and rebirth that will be experienced in this life. Okay. All right. Now, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Venus, four planets. in this quadrant. And that means there'll be the mixture with the quadrant ruler of these four planets. And going back to what we said at the beginning of the video, so there's a pre-birth intent that in the second half of this life, where the individual came into this life wanting to accomplish something that was started in a previous life. There's clues. There's clues there. All right. And in this lifetime, the goal is to finish whatever that pre-incarnation intent was, or the goal. All right. Saturn, yeah. So Saturn is in the seventh house, relationship house. With Saturn in the seventh house, it's on the top half of the chart. That means that there's a need to experience yourself with one-on-one encounters, but the close relationships will need attention. All right. It's gonna there with Saturn in the seventh house, especially Sagittarius, a fire sign, there might be some difficulty in this individual's life and will take a great effort on their part to focus on the expectations that they have for the other, and also honor the expectations that are on themselves. Okay. In other words, like agreements need to be established and also met. And the better that these confrontations are handled, the better the relationships would be in the future. Okay. The Saturn cycles every 28 years. The primary focus is away from the inner world and towards the social world. A lot can be learned about the aspects within this individual because of Saturn being in the seventh house and exposing themselves in social environments, and even being with the moon in the third house, they can actually, especially with Pluto and Scorpio, they can reach emotional depths and probably save a lot of time if they're very clear in communication about how they feel or how they want to express something about themselves or others. All right, moving on. A key 13 is assigned to Scorpio. That's a good tarot key to contemplate on. A lot of symbols in here, okay? Doesn't mean physical death. We die every day. We die and we're reborn every day. When we sleep at night, it's just a symbolic death, and we're reborn the next day. And the skeleton, the bones, that's the structure. It's very Saturn. Without Saturn, we would not have a foundation to walk on. Okay. All right. Moving on to the fourth quadrant, which this individual is an Aquarian. And the ruler of Aquarius is Uranus. Right. There we go. All right. So, career development and how we present ourselves to the world. With Uranus, the planetary influence of Uranus is really good about identifying chaos. Now, it appears that in previous lifetimes, the planet is stating here that eighth house characteristics need to be addressed with the planetary influence of Uranus because of unfinished work, for what it's worth. But when it comes to career development, Uranus will assist with the experiences of the 10th and 11th and 12th house. Okay. And again, deeper astrological analysis, each house has a ruler, and normally I go through each house, but I normally always begin with the quadrants because that's a layer up from the houses. Okay. All right, and I'm gonna move on because the video is getting fairly long. I think that's all I want to say for this chart for now. That's a really good overview. I could spend hours on charts, but I want to move on to vibrational astrology. This natal chart, the natal chart itself is the first harmonic. Okay? This chart is the first harmonic. We carry this vibration through our entire lifetime. It will modulate, okay, but it is established within our essence in this lifetime. Now, the way vibrational astrology works, thanks to software and which can solve extremely difficult mathematical problems, we take the first harmonic and magnify it, okay? And then we multiply all the angles and all the angles between all the planets by the vibration, and it magnifies orbs within all the aspects. All right. So this particular chart, the strongest harmonic was the 221st vibe, which is labeled the restless inquisitiveness innovator. And there's some very quick characteristics which this chart, this individual, may correspond to and relate to. All right. And the tarot, we can use the 221st vibe. The Six of Wands, Lord of Material, says success is assigned to this vibe. So that's another tarot symbol to just keep it in mind, and even better, have the tarot key itself, and that way the subconsciousness realizes from the conscious mind the strong suggestion, the impression that is being received by the subconscious, and then the subconscious responds with the appropriate response based off what it has to work with. Okay, that's why we use symbols, because the subconscious responds to symbols so much clearer than with words. Words are very superficial. Okay, layers and layers and layers. There's so many different languages that have been used throughout humanity. And English is probably like 20 layers up from Hebrew, going farther back. But my point is that symbols, the subconscious is the universal language. All right. Even if we don't know tarot, I highly recommend getting a tarot deck and just staring at the images for 5 minutes a day will make a great impression on the subconsciousness. And then as we choose to study the symbols even more, then it's just a matter of time before we realize, when we look back over the months and years how much change and transformation has occurred, especially with that Pluto in the sixth house in this chart. Okay. But let's real quick talk about look at the trines, the orb that is created here in the third and fourth house within the subconscious realm of this vibration. Okay, there's a lot going on down here. So restless energy is actually very beneficial when we know how to use it. Okay. A lot of times anxiety and restlessness will get sort of a bad rap, but no, once we know how to channel the restless energy in a productive way that works for ourself, then it's vitalizing. It's a lot of energy that is a gift that we brought into this incarnation. Okay, that is going to be all for this recording. And let's see. All right. Well, I enjoyed reading the chart. Hopefully it was very helpful. And I could even elaborate even more on the chart if you're interested, but I still have a lot of other charts to read. Just any feedback would be great. Hopefully it was helpful. That's really what matters the most to me. I love providing symbols to others that help self-empower themselves, identify within themselves patterns that can be integrated. Because then we expand our awareness, our consciousness continues to grow, and then our soul will just take over our life, which is magnificent.